Radio Prague News.
Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek was attacked by demonstrators on Thursday. Ombudsman Pavel Varvažovský has threatened to resign, and the lawyers of former governor and MP charged with corruption David Rath are preparing a constitutional complaint. Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek was attacked by demonstrators at a protest in front of his ministry on Thursday. Several people spat on the minister and hit him. He had stepped out of the ministry to address protesters from the Stop the Government initiative. Some 200 people gathered there on Thursday afternoon for the last of a series of blockades in front of selected ministries. The demonstrators opposed the government's reforms and austerity measures. Union members and other activists who have joined the initiative are calling on the government to resign. Ombudsman Pavel Varvažovský has threatened to resign from his post unless the lower house acts on his suggested changes to the legislation. Among the points that he has criticized is a bill under which a repeat offender who does not have permanent residence in a given municipality could be banned from that municipality for up to 3 months. In addition, he has asked Parliament to cancel a law under which unemployed persons have to regularly report at Czech post offices while they are seeking work, a measure meant to cut down on unemployment benefit fraud. The lawyers of former Central Bohemian Governor David Rath, who is charged with corruption, have announced that they are preparing to file a constitutional complaint. One of the MP's lawyers said that there are several points in the case that have raised legal questions which need to be addressed by the Constitutional Court. In particular, Mr. Rath's lawyers believe that the way in which he was stripped of his immunity may have been at odds with Czech law. Previously, Mr. Rath had filed a constitutional complaint regarding his case. A fresh poll suggests that former Prime Minister Jan Fischer would win the presidential elections if they were held today. In this most recent survey, former Prime Minister Miloš Zeman for the first time saw a better polling result than economist Jan Švejnár, who in previous surveys had come in second. Some 36% of respondents said they would cast their ballot in favor of Mr. Fischer, while some 12.5% would vote for Mr. Zeman. Some 11% of men and women polled believe that Mr. Švejnár should become the country's next president. Next year, Czech voters will be able to elect their president directly for the very first time. And now let's take a brief look at the weather. The coming days are expected to be cloudy to overcast with rain in places and daytime temperatures hovering at around 20 degrees Celsius. That's all the news for today. My name is Sarah Borufka.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name's Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Today, the Czech Foreign Ministry warns against all travel to the Sinai Peninsula. After that, the Ombudsman's Office has laid in to the much criticized practice of sending Romani children to schools for children with disabilities. And later on in this week's Panorama, an interview with Dagmar Goldmanova, one of the heads of the humanitarian organization ADRA, about the organization's work and plans for the future. I hope you'll be staying with us today for all that and more here on Radio Prague. The Czech Foreign Ministry has issued a strong warning against all travel to the Sinai Peninsula. Quoting intelligence reports, the ministry warns of a heightened risk of terrorism across the area, including the popular resorts of Sharm el-Sheikh and Hurghada. But Czech travel agencies have slammed the warning, which they say is too vague. Jan Richter has the details.
Despite political turmoil and an unsettled security situation, Egypt remains one of the most popular destinations for Czech holidaymakers. Last year, some 200,000 Czechs visited the country, mainly its seaside resorts on the southern tip of the Sinai Peninsula. But on Tuesday, the Czech Foreign Ministry warned Czech citizens against all travel to Sinai, including its most popular resorts. Jana Reinišová is the head of the ministry's legal and consular section responsible for travel advice.
We have information of heightened security threats, particularly in the Sinai Peninsula. The situation is serious and we cannot rule out terrorist attacks. From what we know, it's possible that tourist resorts could also be targeted.
The governments of many countries in Europe and around the world warn citizens against travel to certain parts of Egypt, particularly to the north of Sinai. The British Foreign Ministry, for example, advises against all but essential travel to Sinai north of the Suez-Taba Road. The U.S. State Department urges American citizens to avoid all demonstrations in Egypt, while the Foreign Ministry of Austria warns against non-essential trips to Cairo and other urban centers. But the strongest warning against all travel to the Sinai Peninsula and all individual trips across the whole of Egypt came from Czech officials.
I can only comment on travel advice issued by the Czech Foreign Ministry, and I'd like to say we evaluate all information very carefully. Our primary goal is to protect Czech citizens, but we are also aware that each such warning has consequences for the economy, for travel agencies, and people who want to travel. That means we must not underestimate or overestimate the risks.
The impact on tourism is a concern of Czech travel agencies, which rejected the ministry's warning. Their association accused the officials of acting unprofessionally, as they had not consulted them in advance and failed to specify the threat. Alexander Pavlov is the manager of Alexandria Travel Agency.
Egypt has not adopted any extraordinary security measures that would confirm the Czech ministry's warning. I really can't imagine a situation when the Czech ministry has some secret information of an immediate threat for our tourists, which Egyptian authorities would not be aware of.
Meanwhile, the Czech Foreign Ministry says it's impossible to estimate how long the travel warning will remain in effect.
Many thanks to Jan Richter. This is Radio Prague. The Czech government has in the past few years repeatedly been criticized by international bodies for discrimination of Romani children in the Czech education system. Now, the Ombudsman's Office has confirmed what the European Commission and the European Court of Human Rights have said all along, that the much-criticized practice of sending Romani children to schools for children with learning, mental or physical disabilities persists on a broad scale. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
The practice of sending Romani children to schools for children with learning, mental or physical disabilities, simply to save regular schools the effort of helping them to integrate, has been around for years, and post-89 governments, right and left of centre, have repeatedly promised to address the problem. In its latest reports to Brussels, the Czech Education Ministry reported progress on the issue. Now, the Ombudsman's Office has released the results of its own survey, conducted at close to 70 schools for children with special needs, and Ombudsman Pavel Varvarovsky says the situation has not improved.
There can be no question at all that some of the children studying at these schools should not be there. One-third of students at these schools are Romanis, which most certainly does not correspond to the minority's representation in the population.
Although Romanis make up less than 3% of the population, 900 of these schools' 2,800 students are Romanis. The Ombudsman's Office says the idea that Romanis would have such a high percentage of children with special needs is absurd, and the survey results are proof that Romani children are still discriminated against on a broad scale. The only tangible change since a 2007 ruling by the European Court of Human Rights, which found the Czech Republic guilty of discriminating against Roma children by placing them in special schools for the mentally handicapped, appears to be that the term special schools, seen as derogatory, has been replaced by practical schools. Monika Šimunková is the government's human rights commissioner.
Skutečně máme co dělat a co dohánět.
Clearly, there is a great deal that needs to be done in this respect, and we must take a bigger effort to eliminate this form of discrimination. This is a serious warning, and the results of this study are not good.
Vzdělávání. Ty výsledky nejsou pro nás úplně příznivé.
The report by the Ombudsman's Office has left the Education Ministry with egg on its face. Jiří Nantl is Deputy Education Minister.
Máme o tom vlastně rozporuplné informace.
We are getting conflicting reports about the situation. That will certainly motivate us to check out the information we have at our disposal and do some monitoring of our own.
Je to příležitost a výzva, abychom tu věc znovu důkladně monitorovali.
Preventing regular schools from placing Romani first graders in schools for children with special needs has not proved easy, with many teachers ranting against pressure from the government on the grounds that conditions in the classroom do not allow them to cope with the extra work involved in helping individual children. The fact that money was made available for special tuition and Romani assistance has not significantly improved the situation. However, a study conducted in February of this year among Czech Roma children studying in Britain showed that their school results were just below average, even with a challenge of studying in English, and only 2% of those enrolled needed special attention, which was provided in mainstream schools. Ample evidence of the fact that the problem does not lie with Romanis themselves.
Daniela Lazarova there. If you're just tuning in, then thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. And now, as ever of a Thursday, we have a fresh edition of Panorama brought to you by Daniela Lazarova.
The Adventist Development and Relief Agency, ADRA, is marking its 20th birthday in the Czech Republic. The Czech branch, set up in 1992, now provides aid both at home and abroad, as well as organizing awareness-raising programs among primary school children. Dagmar Goldmanová, head of the Department for International Projects and Development Education, visited Radio Prague studio this week to talk about the agency's achievements and plans for the future.
It started 20 years ago in 1992 with a very small team. Actually, it was linked to the operations that were aimed at help in the ex-Yugoslavia. It started with really material help, lots of trucks that were actually going the long journey from the Czech Republic to the ex-Yugoslavia. And then step by step, it grew bigger. And I think one of the milestones was in 1997 with the big floods that were hitting Moravia. So ADRA actually coordinated thousands of volunteers that were helping to clean the damage after the floods. So this was one milestone. And then probably the second milestone was in 2002 again with the floods in Prague and in Bohemia. And probably the biggest growth of the international department came with the tsunami in 2004. During the tsunami, you might remember that people were really willing to help and they contributed loads of money through public collections, through donor SMS. ADRA got more than 100 Czech crowns of funds that were dedicated for help in Indonesia, Sri Lanka, Thailand and India. So the international department grew rapidly and I would say it shifted the focus more and more from humanitarian aid since 2004 into development projects. That means long-term projects that are supposed to help people to be able to gain money, to gain their living on their own more and more.
So you now help both at home and abroad.
That's
Who do you help at home and where are your missions abroad?
ADRA is an international organization, non-governmental organization that is present in 125 countries with something about 6,000 staff members. There are two big groups of offices, ADRA offices. One big group is so-called donor offices, and the other one is called implementing offices. It means that the donor offices try to get the funds and then work together with the implementing offices to actually realize and implement the projects in the respective countries. ADRA Czech Republic is not only a donor office in this sense, but it also is an implementing office within the Czech Republic. At the moment, it has 10 regional volunteer centers that cover about 27 towns and cities inside the Czech Republic and Moravia. And they coordinate volunteers who help people that are somehow in distress or people who are...
What groups are we talking about? Seniors?
It's mostly seniors. That means people in the houses for elderly people. It's people in the hospitals who are ill long term. It's people in hospices. It's children who are sick. It's these kinds of groups.
How do you help them? Money or volunteers?
It's mostly volunteers. That means those people very often don't have anyone. They don't have family. They don't have friends. They have to stay for a long time in the hospital or in the house where they are staying. The volunteer dedicates, I don't know, 2-3 hours per week for a visit to this person. It could be more, it could be a little bit less, but what we try to keep is some kind of regularity of the visits.
And what about aid abroad then?
The aid abroad, as I said, ADRA is a network. That means we actually cooperate directly with ADRA offices, and sometimes we partner with other ADRA offices, for example, in Europe, with ADRA Germany, ADRA Denmark, ADRA UK.
But what kind of help do you give specifically?
It's various projects. It could be focused on providing safe and clean water. That means we are making wells. We are re-establishing boreholes, for example, in Ethiopia, in Somalia, in these kinds of regions. It could be helping people to actually learn something new. It could be in the area of agriculture, for example. One of our biggest projects that we currently have is in Haiti after the big earthquake that took place in 2010. And there we have 4 big training farms that actually help the local small farmers to learn new techniques that are more efficient and that actually can help them to become more independent and actually not only get the products to actually consume them themselves, but also to be able to, for example, sell them and get some money that they can use further.
Do you probably help children get an education?
As well. For example, during or after the tsunami in 2004, ADRA completed reconstruction and construction of tens of schools in Indonesia. So this is definitely also one of the areas supporting children to get better education, to ensure that they are able to get some good employment once they are grown up.
Can Czechs who want to help actually target that help specifically to a given child?
Definitely. We have a program that is called e-donation. That means you can actually select a project that you want to support. It could be help directly dedicated to Haiti. It could be help directly dedicated to Georgia. It could be help directly dedicated for people in Sri Lanka.
But do they know the child, and, you know, is there feedback?
You mean feedback given to the donor in the Czech Republic?
Yes, I mean, for instance, in the form of a letter or news about the child's development or anything like that.
This is probably most evident in our project in Bangladesh. This is the project that that started in 1999. It's a project that is focused on help to underprivileged children in Bangladesh, especially in the countryside. We support the children through actually financial aid that is provided.
Bank
to the
baby.
School. Bank baby, exactly. So this is one part of the project. We also train teachers so that they have better capacity to actually educate the children in Bangladesh. So this project has a clear feedback that is given back to the donors because it's individuals inside the Czech Republic.
ADRA is a religious organization. Does it affect your work? Does it influence your work in your choice of where you're going to help, how you're going to help, who you're going to help?
Not really, no. Me, I'm not linked to the church in any way. The International Projects Department are people who are not linked to the church at all. But I think it's actually actually a good thing that there is a link between ADRA and the church, because it creates synergies.
Do you find the Czechs are open to charity?
I think in general they are very open. As you can see, especially after some disasters, natural disasters such as the floods inside the Czech Republic, or natural disasters as, for example, the earthquake in Haiti or the tsunami in Southeast Asia. So the people are generally very open, and they try to help as much as they can. Obviously, the questions that we are getting more and more, and that's linked to the current economic crisis, it's that we should focus more probably on the projects inside the Czech Republic, because people are having troubles also inside the Czech Republic. But I think it's both. So it's good that ADRA Czech Republic is actually able to help inside the Czech Republic and abroad.
You now have a traveling exhibition of photographs. What's that in aid of?
The traveling exhibition was made to cover the history of ADRA Czech Republic year by year. It shows the development of the Czech office and the projects that that were implemented and supported by the ADRA office in the Czech Republic.
What are ADRA's plans for the future? What where are you hoping to grow, or what are you hoping to achieve?
We would like to be able to help where the help is needed. We would like to continue with the big projects that we have at the moment. That means in Africa, in Asia. We would like to be more active within the European projects, big projects that include, I would say, partnerships, because obviously the more partners you get, the more funds you're able to gather, and the more synergies you have from the help that you provide.
That was Dagmar Goldmanova of the humanitarian organization ADRA talking to Daniela Lazarova for that edition of Panorama. Topping off our show now for today is the next edition of our language learning series, the ABCs of Czech, brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Welcome to the ABC of Czech, where this season we pay special attention to vocabulary related to food and cuisine. Today I'm joined by Daniela Lazarová and we look at hot drinks. You drink coffee, I take tea, my dear, goes the line in Sting's famous song Englishman in New York. Czechs like both. And if someone has ever carried out a survey on which of the two drinks is more popular, I would love to see the results. The Czech word for tea is
čaj.
The most common is black tea, which is usually drunk straight or with lemon.
Čaj s citrónem.
Less often with milk.
Čaj s mlékem.
And sometimes sweetened with honey.
Čaj s medem.
A popular winter variety, which is sure to warm you up, is black tea with Czech rum.
Čaj s rumem.
Herbal teas have a long tradition and are still sought for at times of illness or just as hot, caffeine-free drinks. Especially rosehip tea,
šípkový čaj,
and a tea made from the dried blossoms of the linden tree,
lipový čaj.
Sometimes you can still hear the old-fashioned word for tea,
té,
as in
lipové té.
An affectionate word for tea would be
čajček,
which is also what you usually say to little children. Now on to coffee. The Czech word is
káva,
but you will rarely hear it spoken. The widespread word is
kafe
or
kafíčko,
if you really like your coffee or if it's a nice little cup of coffee. With the political and economic changes, all the different varieties of Italian and American coffee have arrived in the Czech Republic, but many people still prefer the traditional Czech variety, which is called Turkish coffee.
Turecká káva.
Or simply
Turek.
Even though it has little to do with the coffee as made by the Turks. Basically, you just pour boiling water over ground coffee and drink it with the dregs still in the cup. When the generation of our grandparents was growing up, real coffee was often scarce. So there were a number of coffee substitutes, usually made from roasted barley and rye and flavoured with roasted chicory.
Cikorka.
The mix was boiled, hot milk was added, and the product, still called
kafe
or
melta,
was in many families actually eaten, not drunk, as people like to dunk bits of bread in it. Today, these caffeine-free coffee substitutes are becoming popular again, with many varieties, even instant ones, available on the market. But real coffee...
To je jiný kafe.
Literally, it's different coffee, a phrase meaning something like, that's more like it. And that's all for today. Till next time, goodbye.
That was Pavla Horáková with the ABCs of Czech, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we are always glad to hear them. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook or Twitter under Radio Prague, or of course by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening.